I think I only have two places, and both of them are here in the first book, Genesis. And if the Lord bless, but as you heard, the word is not being blessed today, not in a significant way. We just get little glimmers. Great sun of the universe is almost eclipsed with very light. Genesis 45, and we'll start in a few minutes with verse 17. Before we do, though, would you bow with me as we seek our Father's face? Our Father, as always, we must approach thy throne through the blessed Lord Jesus. Lord, if it is pleasing to you this day, cause him to shine here. For these to have a single eye, things, time, they're laid aside for a short space, and bring eternal issues into our minds, Lord, that day when we stand before you. My Lord, have mercy. And you know, my pleas throughout the week and months for the unconverted here, for the young ones, that, Lord, keep them from deception. And bring them to true salvation, true repentance, true faith, both God-given to them. And spare them, Lord, from religion. But not only them, but others. And how is it with our souls this day? First, my own, as with these, and then we can begin to consider others. And if we are right with you, we can speak to you about our church family and our friends outside the church. Lord, now this is thy day. It is the time that we've set aside as a people to meet together and hear thy word. Bless it to our hearts. Give us hearing ears, seeing eyes. Let us understand in the very depths of our being. And I pray that you might draw all your children to the eternal Son of God. In his name we pray. Amen. Beginning with verse 17 and reading down through 28. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do you. lade your beasts, or load them, and go get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him. I've told you on several occasions, if you'll watch out, oft times, Jacob's called Jacob, and then in the middle of something here, he'll have that name. God named him. The Lord Jesus named him. Thou art Israel. And so you are living as Jacob was, with two natures. One of them is down here on this old earth. It is earthbound. And one of them is heavenly. And there your heart and your mind must be. Now I want to speak to you from verse 27, and I hope you will give me time to get back to it. On when Jacob saw the wagons. It seems like not much there, but hopefully our Lord will make it so. I've mentioned that verse before. I don't know that I've ever spoken to you from that. When Jacob saw the wagons. Now, I don't think I would have any difficulty here or any problem with spiritualizing a passage that many, many, many pastors, many churches frown upon. Just preach plainly that which is written, and leave the types alone. Well, the only problem that I've got with that is the great apostle. In Galatians chapter 4, he said Adam had two sons. One of them was of a bondwoman, and one of them was of the free woman. These are allegories. And not what you read in the language there, but these represent two covenants. This is Paul speaking. And those born of the bondwoman, that's the one from Mount Sinai and answers to Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage with her children. And then the other, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. So he took the types. Abraham and his wife and the bondwoman, and had children by both of them. Paul used that. One of them is talking about earthly things, earthly children. The other is talking about heavenly things and heavenly children. But I can go beyond Paul and say that they use the scriptures to look at the types and spiritualized these. And that was our Lord. Quite often he would do that. In Matthew 16, he was talking to the disciples, and he said, all of you beware of the leaven. Well, like you and I, the first thing we do when we come to any scripture or anything, we look at it in the natural or from the natural mind through the natural eyes. We forgot to take bread. But our Lord wasn't talking about the bread that you eat. No, fellas. I spake not to you concerning the bread, but the leaven of the Pharisees. That's what I was talking to you about. So he took a word and said that word, but in the natural, they thought he was talking about what we eat. He said, no, I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about that hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And the Lord said to the disciples, okay, all of you that do not have swords, then you sell what you need to and you buy one. And Peter, well, Lord, here too. Jesus said, that's enough. And then Simon Peter gets in the garden there, and they have come to take the Lord Jesus. And Peter takes up that sword and swings it and cuts off an ear of one of the Roman soldiers. And Jesus said, Peter, put up your sword. They that take the sword, live by the sword, shall die by that. And I can imagine Peter's mind running back and said, Lord, didn't you tell us to buy a sword? Didn't you tell us if we didn't have one, sell what we need to and get one? Well, he did, but he wasn't talking about the literal. So he spiritualized, making that which the literal cannot get, to teach you that of Canaan's language. Now the boys get back. This is their second trip down there, and they get back. And in verse number 26, and they tell their father, Joseph is yet alive. And he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Didn't have any reason to believe them. In Jacob's mind and in Jacob's heart, Joseph has been dead over 22 years. Well, over that time, when the boys came back and they brought back that coat of many colors, and they laid that in front of Jacob's eyes. Well, when that which is going to take place, and that is that the church get a new lease on spiritual life, and when our eyes are open that we can see more plainly, and the sun is shining greater, then the church is going to have the same problem. Psalm 126:1, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Wasn't real. No more was Joseph alive.
not to Jacob. He did not believe them. And there are times in the best of men and of women that the very promises of God vanish from us, and time kind of fades them way back into the distant background. You remember what caused Joseph's problems? A dream, two dreams. I saw all these sheaves coming bow down to my sheaves. And the brothers knew what he was talking about. Will we one day bow down to you? Don't think so. And to get rid of that dreamer and his dream, one of them brought up this, let's kill him. And we'll see what will become of his dreams. And then a couple of brothers, Reuben and Judah, Reuben intended on delivering him back to his father, but that didn't work out. And Joseph was sold as a slave down to Potiphar. And soon he was accused of that which he did not do, and he was cast into prison. And he interpreted the baker and the butler's dream. And it came to pass, and he told the butler, when you're restored, would you speak for me? I'm down here for a crime or crimes that I did not commit. I'm innocent. But for 2 years, the butler forgot Joseph. He is back serving the king. And it was only in Genesis 42 that the brothers bowed down to him when they came after bread, bowed their faces to the earth. And there Joseph remembered the dreams. They had slipped. Too much had passed in time and in circumstances, and he just forgot. Well, can you relate somewhat? You're looking for that. You may have been looking for it for some time. But see, down there in Egypt, Joseph now was a husband. Pharaoh gave him a young lady. He became a father of two. And for 7 years, he was managing the storage and the distribution of all the goods that Egypt would get in the years of plenty. And he stored it all. Excellent mind this young man had. And exceptional young man. Whatever his father told him to do, he did. Whatever his hand found to do, like you and I, Ecclesiastes 9:10. If your hand finds it to do, do it with all your might. His father sent him out of Hebron, the vale. He sent him out to go look for his brothers and see how they are doing. And when he got where his father sent him, his brothers were not there. But a man that is diligent in his work, he will continue on till he finishes the task. And he left there, and he went on until he found them. Now, back to Jacob's heart. You see, Joseph lost the dreams, and Jacob's heart fainted when he heard that Joseph was alive. So now back to Genesis 37, and then back to 45. This is when they had decided or one of them had decided and talked the others into, let's kill him. Judah said, just cast him in that pit. Judah probably had a guilty conscience of what he had done to his father, his father's concubine. And Reuben meant to have carried that boy back, cast him in that pit over there. And Reuben comes back and Joseph's not there. He wants to know. But in the meantime, there was another brother that said, well, there's a group of traitors. Let's sell him to them. Then our blood won't be on his hands. Do you remember another, the greater Joseph in the New Testament? This Joseph we're talking about was betrayed and sold for 20 pieces of silver. Well, our Lord, our greater Joseph, betrayed, sold by his natural brethren, the Jews, for 30 pieces of silver. And so the boys come back, and to make up the story and to make it real to their dad, they dip that coat, Joseph's coat, in the blood of a young kid goat, and they cut it into strips. In verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know whether it be thy son's coat or no. You hear their hypocrisy? And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. Because they had torn it, ripped it, he said, an evil beast had devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. That's the same Joseph. And the same boys coming back and telling him Joseph is alive. But verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down unto the into the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Here the evidence was put plainly before Jacob's eyes. That coat that he had gave his son, all torn, all bloody. And so Jacob's dead. Knowing his boys, there is no reason to believe them. And when they rose up to comfort him, seeing the aged Jacob now disheartened, lost that son. Probably the blame game began. It's his fault. No, it's his fault. Now, they're not doing this in front of Jacob. But being by nature fallen sons, you know how that goes. I didn't do it. It was my sister. It was my brother. Not me. And you can hear when Jacob is not around. I told you not to do it. But you had to go ahead and do it. And Joseph even hears them when they are standing before him, unknown to them. And seeing their father grieved, you know that it grieved their hearts. Jacob, knowing all this about his boys, you're not going to take Benjamin back down there. He's going to stay with me. He's the last son, the only son I have of Rachel. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And when the food's out, they come. Or he says, go back, boys. Oldest one said, no, we won't go back except you send the youngest son. He said, if we don't come back, take my two sons and kill them. Well, he knew. First of all, what kind of dad would put his children in his place? You kill him if I don't bring him back. No, he's not going with you. And then another stood up and he said, I'll bear the blame. I'll live with it the rest of my life if I bring not Benjamin back to you. And he finally gave up. And he sends them. And when the boys came back, I'm quite certain that he would have been content just seeing Benjamin and Simeon. Yet they bring news. Joseph is alive. And Jacob believed them not. No reason to believe them. His heart fainting, that is, it grew numb. It was deprived of a response. Can't be. Son's dead. And if it had not been for the wagons, Jacob would never have believed them. So now, why and how could wagons, when the boys couldn't convince him, how could wagons revive him? You got to just begin to look at it as Jacob would. There's no king, and there's no Pharaoh. There's no ruler, especially Pharaoh, whose empire now reaches just about worldwide, in that vicinity at least. They wouldn't send that empty wagons, and they wouldn't send these female donkeys loaded down with grain and provision. They wouldn't do it. Not to an unknown. A man as powerful as Pharaoh, especially not knowing me, would never provide transportation for me to get down there where he was. And not only me, my daughters, my daughter-in-laws, and my grandchildren. Plus, there's exactly enough wagons to carry all the ladies and the children. Somebody down there in Egypt must know me. Just looking at the wagons, somebody must care enough about me that they will provide for me all the time that I am in journey, not only an easy ride, not demanding much of the old natural man, his strength's about gone. They sent wagons. Somebody sent wagons. And somebody sent enough food for us that would get us all the way back down there to Egypt. and the old man looking at the wagons, considering, and it must be Joseph. It had to be him. Pharaoh knows not one thing about me or my family. Joseph's got to be alive. Well, up to this point, here in the scriptures, that's history. That's an event in the lives of two men, Jacob and Joseph, now Israel and Joseph. But let's bring it down to 24 and bring it down into our gathering here. And to you who have come and are sitting there, do you know that one in that distant land? Well, can't know God. He's incomprehensible. I am a man or a woman of flesh. I am in self a sinner. Therefore, God cannot know me. Well, turn your eyes to the one on the throne by him. And there you see the greater Joseph. And now you can begin to understand why God is so good to you. And why God, in his great mercy and abundant grace, has bestowed it upon you. It wasn't because you were worthy. None of us are. It had to be because there was a son on the throne that knew you. And he introduced you to his father. What do you think of Christ now, children? I mean, we're in the early years or middle years of the great famine worldwide. Heaven's bread is not dispersed today like it has been in past generations. Heaven's quiet. You must not only get acquainted with, but you must have a personal relationship, father, son, brother. I've told you it couldn't be God. And if the father knows you, it's because the son introduced you to him. You can't even know the Son of God except the Spirit introduce him to you. Well, I know Jesus. If you are unconverted, you do not know Jesus. Meeting him is the initial or beginning point of salvation. And you better get, as Brother Hubert said, you better get as close to the blessed Son of God as you possibly can. but I betrayed him. I was intent on killing him. I was in the crowd that came back and said, must have been something. Here's his coat. And you better get really, really close to the greater Joseph. But in going back, there was a definite number and sufficient wagons only to carry a definite number. When it's all said and done, everyone that Jesus came to save and died to save will be saved. And in your journey, you'll have wagons. You'll have provisions for the greater Joseph, knowing every need that you have. When he sent to get you where he is, he gave you enough provisions, grace, mercy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and on we could go. He sent enough to get you to Joseph and Joseph's father. And the Lord Jesus said to his father right before his crucifixion, all those that thou hast given me, I've kept. None of them's lost. It can be rightly said, every brother of Jacob got down there. Every wife of Jacob's brothers got down there. And all his nieces and nephews. For Joseph knew how many, and all of them will end up where he is. And all you headed towards Canaan land, that fair haven of rest, eternal rest above, in your journey, daily bread has been supplied you. Give us this day our daily bread. Your bread and your water will be sure. You will never have a need that the one down in Egypt that sent to get you back down there didn't know about. He knew all about you. And in your journey, sometimes we'll stop and rest in green pastures. And sometimes we'll lie down by the still waters in those valleys with the green pasture. And you'll never have a need arise that God will not provide that need. Now, sometimes to us it's a little slow getting there, but it never has been late yet. For you're living in a different time zone, Canaan's time, even journeying toward. My God shall supply all your needs, Philippians 4:19, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The billionaires have nothing, absolutely nothing. They can't take their money out and look at it, and it provides peace. They can't get any satisfaction, any lasting satisfaction, with all their billions, billions. They've got it all stored up, And yet when sober-mindedness takes over, who's going to get this? Solomon said, I don't know. I don't know. But a child of God has got everything. All needs supplied. Every care that you have, God, through His Son, is looking upon it, and that Son knows exactly your situation, your condition. The ultra, ultra billionaires. They might have a good time at their party and something money could buy. But you know what is eating all of them up? Another dollar. One more thing accomplished. And we're just like David's son. No, I shouldn't say we. Everyone not in Christ is like David's son. He didn't have any boys, only girls. So he went down in the plain and he built this large statue to himself so he'd be remembered. And these billionaires are thinking the same. Now back to, and I may have already covered this, but look at it a little closer. Genesis 45, Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, do this. Lead your beast and get unto the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. Joseph was promoted above all Egyptian lieutenants and generals. Here's a little Israelite boy. He's riding in the second chariot there. Get your father, your household, coming to me, and I will give you the good of the land. Pharaoh's not going to do that. If there's not something in his heart that has endeared Joseph to him, and all he's got to do is look around. The world is in a famine. And there's bread here. We've had plenty of bread for 2 years. I believe Joseph took care that we would have bread for 7 years. I and all the Egyptians owe their lives to Joseph. So you can rest assured that Pharaoh is going to take care of Joseph and Joseph's family. But in verse 20, he said, and regard not your stuff. Don't worry about it, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. How many of the Lord's children are on the narrow path, yet so loaded down with things? You can't get enough peace of mind because of things. got to take care of this, I've got to do that, make sure of this. Regard not your stuff. I've sent you the wagons, and the wagons contain enough bread and everything that you will ever need to get back here. I should say the donkeys, the wagons, were for Jacob, daughters, daughter-in-laws, and children, grandchildren. Boys, don't regard your stuff. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're anxious. You seek to promote your own interest, and you're troubled about many things. You're cumbered. Why are you so distracted and driven about mentally? It's because you're looking at your stuff. What I got to do right now. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. If you don't have time in the day for your book to be opened, then you're too busy. And if you don't have time to open the closet door and there speak with your God, you're too busy and you got too much stuff on your back. Take no thought for tomorrow. Provisions for the day will be sufficient for you. Corn, bread, meat for his family. All of them. And don't regard your stuff. Jacob's probably pretty poor now. The famine's been 2 years. Having to send to another country to get food. And see, well, verse 24. And he said unto them, last phrase, see that ye fall not out by the way. The word that ye fall not out is one, but one word. And it means to tremble or be agitated or afraid. This is the path designed. I've got you on absolutely the best path that you could be on today. And the condition that you're in is the best possible. Now that's saying a lot because I know the pain of some of you physical. But it's what we need. I don't know why. I don't know all the benefits of it. Well, one of the benefits might be that God has kept us on the narrow path. Regarding not our stuff, none of that's important anymore. And we're not agitated or afraid because my boys have been down this way before. Joseph's down there in ahead of them. And there's no need of me getting agitated. Well, they don't know my three sons. I think that's reason enough to get agitated, don't y'all? Or they think they agitate me. I put it like that. Joseph, my son, is alive. But didn't you hear us, Papa? He's governor over all the land. Joseph, my son is alive. I will go see him before I die. Joseph's position, Joseph's possessions, what are these things to me? I've got everything locked up in seeing my son that was dead. I don't need Joseph sitting on the throne, head of the government down there. I'm not going to see a governor. I'm not going to see the second in command riding in the second chariot. My son is alive. And Jesus arose from the grave that morning and he told those ladies, go tell my disciples, I am alive. And I will meet them there in Galilee, which means they got a journey to get where I am. You know, he could have met them there where he was crucified. Sometimes for you to get where the Lord is, he'll put a distance between you and the Lord Jesus. But Jacob's only desire is to see him. Now you hear about folks talking about heaven, how they look forward to heaven, where they can walk on the streets of gold, they can sit down on the banks of the river of life, and they've got a tree down there that bears 12 manner of fruits, and the leaves are for the healing. You've heard them, haven't you? My grandmother's going to be there. My mom, this one or that one. Going to see all my friends that have departed before me and are now in heaven. But you mark that old aged saint of God, a Jacob, a David, and Abraham. You mark them and you listen to their language. Heaven is about one thing and one thing only. And that's seeing a dead son that is alive. I hope you see him every day by the eye of faith. Oh, some days you won't. That's just God's providence. But the old saint that's journeyed a long time towards that city, death has but one great reward for him or her. Jesus, my Savior, is alive. Folk, you need to get to the place where he's alive for you today. Not when you die, alive for you today. And you're going to see the one that died for you. I don't know that there is a material need for anyone here. I don't think there is. All of you have sufficient. Then what about your heart? Does it matter that Joseph died? But you're the cause of his death. I'm the cause. Doesn't that matter to you? Well, heaven's going to be all these things. Those kind of people scare me. Heaven is about a son that was dead. And it is enough I'm going to see Joseph before I die. And folks, I could sit here for a long time just listing wagons loaded down with heaven's treasures. And you could join in the conversation and tell me, wagons. But the thing is, it's not the wagons. It's not the provisions. Joseph is alive. May God seal it to your heart and enrich it there. Tim, you come if you would.